last week was kind of a long week at work for me. It's pretty busy. I live in a production environment, so, you know, we're dealing with customers, we're dealing with deadline dates, product needs to move out in a timely fashion, and, you know, if we can't hit a deadline for a customer, well, then we have to reach out and let the customer know why. And there was one order in particular this week. It was for 90 peptides, which is a lot of peptides. I know Bob is smiling because I said peptides, but it was a pretty big order for us, and I'd say about a quarter of those peptides didn't make very well for various reasons, which means that the customer communication for this particular order was kind of lengthy, big project. So the next manager in line who I have to report this to came to me on Tuesday, and she said, oh, can you get this alert out to me? We call it an alert when we're talking about a customer communication. She said, can you get this out to me? And I said on Tuesday, yes, it's on my docket for today. I'm going to get to it. Don't worry. Well, this and that happens throughout the day. A couple other things bump the priority list. And then Wednesday morning rolls around. She comes back to me. She says, hey, I noticed you didn't get that alert out to me yesterday. Can you get that out today? And I said, oh, I am so sorry. Absolutely. Today's the day. I set aside some time with the other manager. I said, we're going to sit down and we're going to take care of this for you. Thursday morning, she comes to me again. She says, you know, I really need that alert, David. And it kind of struck me that I had promised to do something for two straight days to this individual, and yet I hadn't delivered yet. Which got me thinking about the topic of follow through and commitment. Follow through and commitment. On Thursday, I actually did finally follow through and get this done, but it had come after 2 days of saying, yes, I'm going to do this. And yet I let all these other things get in the way of actually accomplishing what I said I was going to do. It's not that I intended not to do it, but other things, like I said, got in the way. But that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse not to follow through when things get busy. So today we're going to look into Scripture and see what the Bible has to say about following through with our commitments and the idea of measuring our words and what it means and why this is a valuable principle to God. Christ tells us a little bit about a commitment over in Luke chapter 9, if you'd like to join me there. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to look at verse 62. A little bit of context here. Christ is asking those who are following him to stop what they're doing and follow him. And he kept getting excuses from various individuals as to why they couldn't follow him. And we get this statement from Christ here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He says, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Christ is telling us here to be committed to the work. At baptism, we start our spiritual journey, and we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep working at it. We can't be looking back. Christ is saying we need to keep up the work. We need to keep our hands on the plow to finish what we have started, all the way to the kingdom of God. A good example of this would be the disciples in the early part of the book of Acts. Now, we're going to be hearing a lot about this tomorrow with Pentecost, so I'm not going to go read these sections of Scripture, but we kind of know the background, right? The disciples had a little bit of a crisis of faith following the death of Christ and before his resurrection. We know Peter denied Christ 3 times. But after Christ's resurrection and the further time that he spent with the disciples, we see a change in their attitude. We see a shift. We see a group of individuals that were a little scared and timid to continue the work after Christ's passing to a group of individuals who are committed to following through with their directive. In the early part of Acts, we can read how they were preaching the gospel and how they were persecuted, how they were beaten, how they were brought before the council and told to stop preaching. And maybe the disciples previously would have said, okay, you know, we're going to kind of fall back to the wayside. But their attitudes and mentalities had shifted. After the court had let them go, they went out and they continued preaching the gospel. They stayed committed to Christ's message. They would not be dissuaded from what they told Christ that they would do. Do we stick to our commitments, brethren, as the apostles did? We know our actions and our decisions that we make in our physical lives have the potential to bleed into our spiritual lives, right? those bad habits we pick up at work, right? Maybe we say we're going to do something one day and we don't do it until the next day. Or that project at the house that we tell our wife, yeah, I'm going to jump on that, I'm going to get that done, but then months or weeks lapse by. Again, it's not that we don't have good intentions, but if we don't follow through with what we say, these bad habits can slip into our spiritual lives. A situation where you say to yourself, I'm going to dedicate an hour to God this afternoon and do Bible study, or I'm going to remember that time to pray. But if you get used to that in your life of making excuses and not following through on what you say, then maybe you won't do that Bible study, or you won't set aside that time to pray. It has that power to bleed into our spiritual lives. But this is only one side of the coin. Being determined to follow through with something that we start is only one side of it. The other side of the coin is watching what we say. Watching what we say in the first place. We know in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament, that there's a connection between follow-through and the concept of making vows. God, through Moses, told Israel, if a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. That's in Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2. Then we also have a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 23, if you'd like to join me there. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 23. Where we read, you shall be careful to do what is past your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. I read this out of the ESV version, so it might be a little bit different than what you have in front of you. But brethren, the point is, these principles that we just read in Numbers and Deuteronomy are truly principles to live by. Doing according to all that proceeds out of my mouth, and being careful to do what passes through my lips. Of course, these promises that we're reading about in the Old Testament are talking about promises we make to God, but they also apply to the things that we say to other people in and about our lives today. The words we choose are critical. What we say we are going to do starts in our mind and it ends in our mouths and what we say to other people. Christ knew this. In Matthew chapter 5, if you want to start turning there, Jesus thought that the words that we say and use are a topic worth discussing on the Sermon of the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, and starting in verse 33. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33. We read, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Doing what you say you're going to do or not do matters just as much as the physical actions of it. When I think back at my own, work life or the week that I just had at work, the pitfall I often fall into most of all is overpromising, right? It's definitely the thing that I fall into the most, right? Because I want to help people, and I want to be there for them, and I want to give them what they want, right? But I also have to understand the limitations that I have. I can't promise everything to everyone, because then I won't be able to get everyone everything, and by therefore, I won't be following through with my words. I'll promise someone and say, I'll get that done right away, or yes, I'll do that, I'll drop everything. But eventually you will reach a point where you're going to be letting somebody down because you overpromised yourself. It's not that we don't have good intentions to do what we say we're going to do, but we're limited in this physical life as to what we can actually accomplish. So we have to use wisdom and understanding to check and make sure that what we say is something that we can do. Because when we say something, our word is on the line. As Christians, we are to be an example of God and his way of life, right? I want someone to look at me in my life and say, wow, there's something different about David. Not because I don't follow through with what I say, but because I do what I'm going to say, and I am a positive example. But if I continue to let these situations happen in my life, I continue to slip and not follow through, then I'm going to get a bad reputation or a negative one. And that not only reflects negatively on me, but it reflects negatively on God and his church, which is not what we want to have happen. James gives us some good advice about this topic in James chapter 4 and verse 15. James chapter 4 and verse 15. Single verse here. Whoops, the fan is blowing my scriptures around. James chapter 4 and verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. If the Lord wills, we shall do this or do that. Not over-promising, understanding our limitations and what we can accomplish. And finally, a final scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Again, a powerful scripture here talking about the importance of measuring our words and understanding the significance that they bring. So, brethren, as we wind down, the topic of commitment and follow-through is pretty straightforward. Right? It's something that we all know about, we've heard about. It's a very simple concept to grasp. But it's something that's a lot harder to actually practically involve in your life. It's a lot easier to say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to accomplish all these things and let people know that. But it's a lot harder to actually physically go and do those things. What we have to be on guard for as Christians today is not letting the bad habits of this slip into our everyday lives. Because if we do this, it's only a matter of time before they slip into our spiritual lives and start affecting us that way. We know from the scriptures we reviewed today that God values commitment, that he values those who do what they say they're going to do, because we know it's a quality of God himself, that he keeps his promises. Every time there's a rainbow in the sky, I can't help but think of the promise that God made to Noah that he'd never again flood the earth. Our God is a God of commitment and follow-through. He wants us to be someone who will hold on to the plow and not look back. He wants us to be careful to choose our words and realize our limitations and what we can actually accomplish. So, brethren, I urge you today not just to be men and women of words, which is kind of shallow, but rather men and women of action. Have a wonderful Sabbath.